So, where are we? We are in our new sermon series, Roosevelt Values. And I've said our mission here at Roosevelt is, you've been here, you hear this all the time, that our mission is to engage all people with all of Jesus. The values, though, the Roosevelt values are a way of saying, here's how we want to do that. Here's what we want it to feel like and to be like, to look like, as we try to engage all people with all of Jesus. So last week, the first value that we looked at was Jesus devoted, to be a church community that is devoted to Jesus. Now, this week, today, we'll be looking at biblically rooted. And as a way to get us into that, one of the things we're doing throughout this sermon series is having different blog posts, and there'll be a photo book coming up at the end of the series, as well as different videos interviewing different members of our church, reflecting on each of these different values. And so last week was Celeste, hopefully you saw that online. This week is James Grand Prix, and as a way to maybe get us thinking about this, get the juices flowing on what it means to be biblically rooted, I'm going to play that video right now with James, and then I'll pray, and we'll get going. So it's 1997, and the Buffalo Bills are playing the hated New England Patriots. And just kidding. But 1997, the Bills are playing the Patriots. And during the game, early on in the game, the starting quarterback, Todd Collins, gets hurt. And so, of course, like any football team, the backup quarterback comes out for the Bills, Billy Joel Hobert. And so he runs out, gets under center to take the role of quarterback. But pretty quickly, you can tell something is off. Something is not quite going well. He seems lost out there. He seems unsure of himself. The game starts getting worse and worse, and the Bills lose to the Patriots pretty badly, 33-6. So after the game, there's a press conference, and they ask Hobert what happened. And Hobert admits that he hadn't looked at the playbook enough before the game. He says this, "I only looked at the passing plays one or two times. I'm probably going to get in trouble for this, but I just didn't study hard enough." And he was right, he did get in trouble. He was released from the Bills about 3 days later. And I think we can understand why that happened, why the team released him. That Billy Joel, he read the playbook. It's not like he didn't open it up. He said he read it once or twice, but he didn't really know it. He didn't know it. It's a playbook. It's not just there for him to read about the plays. It's for him to actually play the plays. Actually know it well enough to execute them. That to be a professional football player means not just knowing about football and the plays that your team wants you to do. You have to know them at the level that you're able to automatically almost do them. You know them so well, you're able to fill the role that you're supposed to play in knowing your playbook. So, right now, many of your hands is this, right? Something like this. Maybe you have it on a smartphone or you have an actual book. But right now, many of your hands is what we call the Bible. It's often also called the Holy Scriptures. It's called God's Word because it's actually God's words to us. It really is. That God's words delivered through human authors of what God has done, what he is doing, and what he will do for us, for our whole world, for all creation, and all that happening in and through Jesus. So when we think about the Bible, God's Word, what we're looking at really is the playbook. And especially we're thinking about this idea of being a Jesus-devoted church, being people who are devoted to Jesus. Here's the playbook. Here it is, right there. Right, that this is what we need to know and understand, not just know about. It's got to be more than that, right? It's knowing it so that we can live it, so we can live lives that are connected to God in Jesus. We can't just page through it and sort of catch a few things here and there. No, we got to know it. It's got to be in us. And if you're here, you say you believe in God, you say you want to be devoted to Jesus, that is great. I'm glad you're here, but understand that will never, ever, ever happen. You will never be connected to God. You'll never be as devoted to Jesus as you need to be if you don't know anything about the playbook. you don't know anything about God's word, if this is the only time that like you sort of have the Bible around you Sunday morning, well, great. I'm glad this is one of those times, but that's not going to be good enough. It won't be enough. It's going to be good, but not enough to get you to what we're going to talk about today, being biblically rooted. I mean, for some of you, you're here, you don't like church, you don't know how you feel about Christianity, and I say, fine, that's great, I'm glad you're here. Really glad you're here. But let me just say this, I want to suggest, if you're here, you're like that, I don't know about church, it's Christian stuff, my parents dragged me here, someone else pulled me here, or I'm so curious, but I don't buy it. I'm glad you're here, but I want to say maybe one of the reasons you feel this way, one of the reasons that's sort of getting in the way for you really seeing, understanding Christianity is that you actually don't know the playbook. You don't know the manual. You don't know the blueprint. I want to say that maybe you can't just, I want to say this. I don't think you can say I'm bored by this stuff. I don't like it. I don't believe it if you don't know what the this is. You might be bored and disliking something that you don't actually know what it is. You know what's actually there. And so that's why what we're going to be doing today is important. No matter where you are spiritually, wherever you are with this whole thing, there is value in here thinking about what it means to be biblically rooted. What does that really mean? Because it's going to be a guide for where we want to go, right, as Christians, and it's a guide for maybe where understanding, here's where the Bible wants to point me. Do I want to go there? Do I believe in it? Do I trust in it? Do I want to go in that direction? What we want to do is see this book, right? What this is, and understand it's not just a book. It's not just that. It's more than that. It is way more than that. It is actually God's word for each and every one of us. Each and every one of you. This is what God has given you. I like what C.S. Lewis says. He says this, the Bible is like a lamp or a guide. There are many rival directions for living. The directions of God, right, the Bible, however, not those others, are the real or valid ones. They are based on the very nature of things and the very nature of God. So it's like saying there's a lot of directions for how you're going to live life in this world, a lot of things you could look to for how you should live your life in this world. To be biblically rooted is to say, okay, I'm picking this direction. And of all the directions out there, I'm going to go with this one. And I'm going to go with this one because I believe, as C.S. Lewis says, it speaks to the very nature of things. What's really going on? It speaks to the very nature of God. That God is not this vague cloud out there, but that he's his particular being, and that the Bible speaks to that. And I'm going to go in that direction. I want to be grounded in that direction. And in saying that, in saying biblically rooted, one of the things, too, we're saying is that this is not an encyclopedia. We can treat it that way, but it's actually not an encyclopedia. It's not, it's more than that. It's not a trivia book. It's more than that. It's, as we've been saying, a playbook, or maybe a better way of putting it, it's like a script for life. It's like the script for understanding and living life. And because that's true, I want to tell you, this is not just about being biblically smart. It's not about being biblically well-read. It's not what this is about. This is about being biblically rooted. You see the difference? See the difference? To be biblically rooted, it's to say, the journey we want to go on this morning is to say we want the aims and the priorities and the categories and the values of the Bible to shape who we understand ourselves to be, to direct how we want to live, to be the basis of how we live. Like James in the video talked about, I like that image. He says we want the roots to go down deeper. So imagine this tree. The roots go deeper, so the tree grows fuller. There's a connection here. The way we want to look at what's in here is sinking so deep in us, it shows itself in all the things that we care about, and all the things that we want to push into, and all the ways we understand who we are and the kind of life that we want to live. So to do that, to think about this, we're going to go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verses 9 to 16. This whole psalm, actually, is a whole psalm that's devoted to this to what we're talking about, this idea of loving the Bible, being rooted in the Bible. The whole psalm is dedicated to that, but this section particularly does that. So if you have a Bible, turn there. It's also in your bulletin. So if you want to use the bulletin this Sunday, you can do that. Just turn over to the backside of the bulletin. You can find the text there. Let me read this for us. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart, I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips, I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies, I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. So this text is telling us there's a road for us to travel. And to wander away from that road puts us at risk. So if we don't want to wander, if we want to, it says, keep our way pure, we have to follow the track that's laid down for us. The first verse of Psalm 119 says this: we have to walk in the law of the Lord. There's a road for us to go to. And the Bible is laying it out for us and saying, go, travel here, and you'll know. You can trust where you're gonna go. Follow the roadmap that's laid out for you, the script that's laid out for you. And you'll find the life that God has for you. Now, we travel down this road. Think of it this way. What are the walking shoes? The things that move us forward. Well, I think there's two things that we want to notice here in this passage. First is that we have to seek God with our whole heart. Verse 10. With my whole heart, I seek you. If we want to be biblically rooted, this cannot be a weekend-only project. It's not going to work. This cannot be something you do just on the weekends. Whole heart means that at some point, you're saying, yeah, I'm going to give Monday to Saturday to this too. I'm going to give my life to this. I want to seek you. I want to find you. And I'm going to go to your word to find you and to keep finding you and to keep you close to me. You got to give your whole self to it. To be biblically rooted means I'm giving all of myself to what God has for me in this book, this Bible that God has given me. We understand, given for you. It wasn't even given for the angels. The angels have to understand it through what it means for us. But to give our whole self to what God has given to us. The second sort of walking shoes for us in this is that God's word has to be stored up in our hearts. Verse 11, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I want you to understand, this is not just about memorizing the Bible. Right? It's not just about that. I mean, lots of Christians sort of think, well, I just got to memorize lots of the Bible. Parrots can memorize the Bible. Right? It includes this, but it's not just that. It's more than just what a parrot can do. This idea of being stored up means it's in our hearts. I mean, here is, you're asking, what's the very essence of being biblically rooted? What I want for us as a church community is this, that the truths of the Bible define all of us, all of who we are, that we just know it. We know it, the truths that are there, not just in here, right, but it's in here. It's in the very essence of who we are. You know, other translations say, I've treasured your word in my heart. I like that idea that God's word is in the most valuable part of you. Where you keep the things that you care about the most, the things that I'd say most motivate you and define you and drive you, that's where you're going to find God's word. That's where you're going to find the truths of the Bible, the stories of the Bible, the values of the Bible. It's in you in such a way that it affects how you think and how you feel and what you do. It's stored up within you. And that's what means to be biblically rooted, what it sort of looks like. But now we might ask, how can it happen? What are some training? So we want this word to be our foundation. We want it to be rooted deep in us so that it affects all of our lives. Are there things that we can do that make that happen? The ways that God allows that to happen so that it affects all of us, so it influences all of us. Well, here's four things I think that I want to sort of draw out from the rest of this passage. First thing is in verse 12, that we can be biblically rooted. It happens by being taught the Bible. Verse 12, blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. What happens here on Sunday mornings, that's why it's so important. You get taught the Bible regularly from the pastors and the men who are up here preaching the Bible regularly. Like, you didn't have to pay anything to come in here regularly Sundays. You get taught. And that teaching is part of the process by which God roots you in the Bible. I mean, notice how it's all connected together. You want to store God's word in your heart, and so that's why the psalmist says, blessed are you, Lord, so teach it to me. Give me opportunities for it to be taught to me. 2 Timothy 3, 16 to 17 says the Bible is profitable or useful for teaching. It means the Bible is expertly designed to teach you. It's not there to stump you or to trick you or to fool you. It is actually there meant for you. Out of all the creatures in the universe, you have something directly given just for you. The opportunities then, every opportunity we have, not just Sundays, any opportunity you have to be with other people, teaching and being taught is hugely powerful and important. It's part of the ways in which God roots the Bible within you. I mean, chances that you have just in the morning to be taught from God, chances you have in Bible studies, chances you have in conversations over lunch, those opportunities to be taught in ways that root the Bible within you. The second thing, verse 13, we get biblically rooted by speaking the Bible. With my lips, I declare all the rules of your mouth. So we will be more biblically rooted the more the truths, the values, and the priorities of the Bible affect the things that we actually talk about and how we talk about them. Biblically rooted shows up in what you say and how you say it and the things that are happening around us. I mean, one of the things that we believe that the Bible teaches is this idea of common grace. So God's truths are everywhere. They're everywhere because God made the world. So they're everywhere to be seen and witnessed. But special grace means that people can only go so far and so deep without God. Special grace means that we can see the truths and go much deeper and understand more fully and richly. So to be biblically rooted then is to say that, like, you can see what's around you. We may start where everyone else starts and talking about the things of this world, but we can talk about them way differently. Can I even say better? More fully, at least. And that doesn't mean that, like, we know every last thing, right? It's not to say that we have every knowledge of every scientific equation or every single thing that's in the universe. No, it's to say to understand the true story of the world. Why we are here. Why you matter. Why people matter. So if we're biblically rooted, how might we speak differently about our hopes and dreams? If we're biblically rooted, how might we then talk more fully and richly about things like dating and marriage and parenting? I'm going to go here. If we're biblically rooted, how might we talk differently, more fully about politics and social issues and cultural issues? I mean, here's a question for you. And I'm pressing right into this. So listen carefully. Here's a question. Does the Bible influence how you think and talk about things like your sexuality, things like the unborn, things like the immigrant, and especially the undocumented immigrant? Do we talk differently about those kind of things? What about men and women, how they relate to each other? That's a huge issue happening right now. Like, how do we talk about them? Do we just sound like everyone else? Or are they the things that the way we think about those things and talk about those things show something of the fact that we're rooted in the Bible? What about the government? What about the police? What about the justice system? I'm just listing all the things that I see all the time, all over, things people are already talking about. And I want to ask, is there something happening in that conversation where we're like, well, those people are talking about this a little bit differently? Like they start where we are, but they go somewhere that that's fuller and deeper and different. To be biblically rooted, if we want to be biblically rooted, here's how it begins to happen. When we begin to say, I want the things I say about the things of this world and the things in my life to reflect the fact that those roots are deep. Third thing I want to list there is meditating on the Bible. Verse 16, I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your word, on your ways. To take concentrated time to stop and think about what's there. What's really there? To chew it over in your mind, to read it, and not just read it, but think about it and reflect on it. To keep looking at it and looking at it and looking at it until you clearly see and understand what's there, until it gets into your heart. And here's where prayer is the key tool. It's the essential tool. It cannot happen apart from prayer. We're in reading the Bible, we're praying. In praying, the Bible comes into our hearts and lives. It can't happen. Biblically rooted cannot happen apart from prayer. That's in prayer that things will come to mind and things will be brought. That is in prayer that we begin to have that meditation happen so that, again, it's not just out here. It actually comes in here. Fourth thing, to be biblically rooted means that we want that to happen. We delight in the word. We delight in the Bible. This is verses 14 and 16. It says, in the way of your testimonies, I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts. Fix my eyes on your words. Verse 16, I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. You know, other translations will say, I rejoice or I exult in your word as much as in all riches. I rejoice, I exalt, I delight. It's to read the Bible and to have it fill your imagination, to excite you and motivate you, to captivate and thrill you, to captivate and thrill you towards seeing what's there and doing it. Verse 15, it says, in the way of your testimonies, I delight. I'm delighted by them. I mean, this one is so important. I think this is why it's repeated twice. And in fact, this is something you will see over and over and over again in Psalm 119. Here's some of the things that will show up later if you read that whole psalm. Verse 24, it says, your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors. Verse 92, if your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. Verse 103, how sweet are your words to my taste. Sweeter than honey to my mouth. God's word is like, it's better than honey. It's sweeter. Verse 162, I rejoice at your word like one who finds great treasure. See, what I'm talking about this morning, I'm not talking about giving you a chore to do. There's another thing you got to do if you want to be a Christian. I'm inviting you into something good and beautiful and amazing and joyful. I'm trying to capture your attention for something that you might be missing. There is more here than you realize. You understand? There is more here than you possibly can realize. I'm telling you, there's more in your Bible, more to thrill you and to captivate you than your favorite smartphone app or the favorite video game that you got. There's more delight and joy for you there. There's more delight and joy for you there than if you got a big raise or the best score on your test. There is more joy and delight for you here than if thousands of people finally saw that little YouTube video that you put up online, right? Or the Instagram video, right? You're thinking, my life would be made if that happened. The Bible, I'm telling you, there's actually something better for you to find already. There's something better for you to find in your Bible than having new cars, new clothes, new home. And I say all this, and I realize, I mean, some of you, you're sitting here, you're thinking, I'm exaggerating. Right? That's just, I mean, some of you, I get that. I mean, this is something I've been thinking about for a little while now. I mean, just Let's be honest. I mean, I think to myself, man, I got some great video games, right? They're a lot of fun, right? In my closet right now, I've got some Jordans. I love those Jordans. I love putting them on. I love walking around in them, right? Look at the suit I'm wearing right now. I feel great, right? This is a good suit. It's delightful, right? I enjoy it. And yet, all those things I've had and have were useless to me. Useless to me. When one of my best friends died when I was in seminary. Saw him during the week, didn't show up in class. Didn't show up in class the following week. A friend of mine came in and said, yeah, Horace passed away. And I just could not process that. I was like, what? I mean, this is, you know, in seminary is one of those times you form some immense friendships. I mean, people you stick with for the rest of your life. You know what was most helpful to me? You know what captured my attention, what began to pull me out of really the dark hole I was in? A friend of mine called me and said, you know, Psalm 116, verse 15, Ramon, I think that's what God wants you to know. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. That's what I needed to hear. Like, this is, I was like, God, why did you do this? And God, it was like God said through my friend, he's precious in my sight. I'm sorry this happened. He's still precious in my sight. You know, I want to tell you, the Bible's tendency is to really shine when life sucks the most, right? That's when the Bible most especially shows up, because everything else gets stripped away. Everything else gets stripped away. That's when you begin to realize what was there and you're missing. You know, all the things that I have, it's nothing compared to what really has sustained me and continues to sustain me when I come across passages that I've read 1,000 times, and all of a sudden God says, hey, there's something else for you to see. It has happened to me a couple years ago. I was reading 1 Corinthians 13 for the 1,000th time, right? And all of a sudden, here's what I saw that I never saw before. So, you know, 1 Corinthians 13, it talks about, if I speak in the tongues of men and angels, if I have prophetic powers, I have the ability to understand all mysteries and knowledge, I have faith to move mountains, and I have not love, I am nothing. Read that a bunch of times. And then one day God said, you know, the reverse is true too. That if I don't speak in tongues, right, and I don't have any prophetic powers, I've got some puny powers, right, and I'm kind of dumb, I don't understand much in the way of knowledge and mysteries, and my faith is kind of fragile. I got faith to move a pebble, not really a mountain, right? I don't really have much of anything, but I have love. I have everything. I have everything if I have love. Even if all the other things that are flashy and good and important and get you attention at award shows and churches, you don't have any of those things and you have love, I have everything. And it was like God was saying to someone like me who likes to achieve and be successful, God is saying, you have my love, Ramon, you have everything. You have everything. See, that's the wonder and joy that's in store for you. Those are things that apply particularly to me, but those are the kind of things that God has for you if you seek to be biblically rooted. Things that are meant especially for you at the right moment, at the right time, that you will never forget. And sadly, most Christians will never experience this. Most Christians will never experience the things I'm talking about because we have the Bible around us more than ever before, and yet we are more unaware of what's there. More unaware of what's there, more distracted, more pulled in all sorts of directions, more inclined to think that, yes, the newest thing I got is better. Look, I'm not saying, I mean, this is thousands of years old, and so we enter into it and begin to say, what's going on here? And yet, I'm telling you, there is something here for us to find. That, if I can put it this way, to be biblically rooted, I want us to be joyfully rooted in the Bible. That's what I want for us. I don't want us to be most Christians living most of their lives away from joy and delight, away from a life that is deeply connected to God and full of Jesus. And so for that to happen, I'm going to take time right now for us to maybe begin to enter us into that. For some of you who've never really done something like this, some of you have done it before, and so this is a great moment for God to do something in your life right now. If you have your bulletin, I want you to take your bulletin, turn it around. Right there is the text that we're looking at, right? Here's an exercise maybe for us together as a community towards being joyfully rooted in the Bible. So five steps I'm going to take us through. The first one is we got to believe in God and trust in Jesus. As I said, this applies to all of you. Even if you're here, you're kind of bored, you're not sure you believe in this, I'm saying there's stuff here for you to see. Know what you should be bored about. Know what's actually there. But understand, the key to really unlocking this is start here. Do I believe in God? And do I trust in Jesus? That's when the things begin to open up. And so maybe that's the first place. Don't look at all the other stuff. There's lots of things you can look at, but maybe start with this. What does the Bible say about God? And what does especially the Bible say about Jesus? So that's the first thing for us. We want to be biblically rooted, right? It's sort of a very practical way for us to do this right now. But the second thing is we need to confess and humbly ask God to show up and as we pray. In prayer, to come before God humbly in prayer and to confess that we need him to show up. Because understand, the problem is not with the Bible, the problem is with us. It's with us. There's another passage we could have looked at this morning, the parable of the sower. Jesus tells a story of his word coming, trying to get into people's lives, and things happen that choke it out. So there's weeds that can come up in your life that choke out the truths that God intends for you to have and to bear fruit in your life. The weeds of sin and temptation, the weeds of suffering and difficulty in your life. There's the weeds of distraction, of anxiety, of worry, of passiveness. We don't want that to happen. So I'm going to pray right now before we continue on looking at this passage some more. So I'm going to pray on our behalf that in this moment God would help us, right? So let's pray. Lord, I just pray, Lord, just briefly but directly to you right now. We confess the fact that there are distractions happening right now. There's thoughts and worries. There's concerns. There's things we did and are continuing to do that, Lord, are preventing us from hearing your voice. And so, Lord, as we continue on, Lord, help us to hear your voice. We are sorry that we don't pay attention to you the way we should, and we let the things in our life come in the way of us paying attention to you and having this precious, beautiful, amazing word come into our lives. And so clear it all away right now. Clear it all away. We want to see what you have for us now as we look again at your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So that's a second step I'd commend to you. Regular confession, humbly coming to God in prayer every time you're wanting to see what God has for you in the word. The third thing is reading it, right? So let's look back again at that passage. I'm gonna read it again. Verses 9 to 16 of Psalm 119. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. That's the third thing we want to read, right? We actually have to read it. But now here's the fourth thing. We have to read it again. We have to read it again. And I just read it right now, but now we want to read a little more slowly and even prayerfully. Verse 15 of the passage here says, I will fix my eyes on your ways. We want to look and look and look again. You will only get out of this what you put into it. So this may be a waste of time for some of you, and I'm going to say that's your fault, not God's fault. I'm going to read it again, a little more slowly. I'm going to try to, right? Because I struggle with this too. I'm like, I just read it. I've been reading it all week. And what I'm asking right now, God, I'm asking you, Lord, to help me see some things that I didn't even see after all the times I looked at it. I'm going to trust that there's something special happening as you guys are looking at me. I'm sort of out there. I'm out here, right? Just saying, I'm going to read this slowly and prayerfully. And as I read it, ask, what are the things that are going to pop up in your heart and your mind as I read through this? How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart, I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I've stored up your word in my heart. I want to sin. I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Please, please teach me your statutes. With my lips, I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies, I delight, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. So, we read again more slowly and prayerfully. Now, we're going to read yet again, but now we're going to read with a pencil and pen. So if you have a pencil or pen, pull it out. If you don't have one, there's one right in the seat back, right in front of you. One of the things that Jonathan Edwards says is, he writes, he had these different resolutions. He says, to study the scriptures so steadily, constantly, and frequently as that I may find and plainly perceive myself to grow in the knowledge of the scriptures. And so what this is saying, I want to study this. I want to know this. And the Bible is inviting us to do that. It's inviting us to care about what's actually there, to pay attention to what's actually there, to ask questions of the scripture, to underline things. Like, your Bible doesn't have to be clean. Right? And if you're afraid of writing your Bible, I'm telling you, you can write in your Bible. Buy another one. Keep the one that you want to keep on your shelf, keep it there, and keep the other one there so you can write on it. Right? Or maybe print out a passage, right? And use it and engage with it. So we just read it, and we read it some more. Now we're going to read through the eyes of a pencil or pen. So if you have one, hold it in your hands right now. I'm just not going to assume everyone does this and knows this. So I'm just going to show you, and you can do this along with me. You can copy what I copy, or maybe you're going to write some things down that came to you as I was reading. Right? But let's look at this together. As I look at this, I'm saying, okay, how can a young man keep his way pure? And so I look at this and I'm thinking, like, man, should I talk to my kids about this? Is this something you want me to talk to my kids about? They're young. They have an opportunity to be set in the right direction. So there's a question, and here's the answer. By guarding it according to your word. And so I'm going to write, God, how do I do that? You know what I'm doing here? I'm saying, God, here's the things I need more of. I don't want to assume I understand what it means to guard it. How do I do that? What do I do with that? And it says, with my whole heart, I seek you. And, you know, this is, so for those of you who like pictures, maybe you draw a picture here, right? So here's different hearts. Is my heart like this? Is it like this? Or is it like that? Like, put that in your Bible. I want to ask myself, which one is it? Like, the Bible is challenged. I mean, this is actually something that I was challenged by just last night. All the times I read this, I'm like, man, this is my whole heart. Can I assume my whole heart is given to God? What does it mean for me to look at that? Let me not wander from your commandments. So I'm going to write, I need to pray this. I think this is a prayer. I have stored up your word in my heart, so I may not sin against you. Notice how many questions I'm asking here. What does this look like? Any of these, I could just stop and like spend time thinking about or talking to other people about. So what does this look like? Is it Bible memory? Is it other things? Right. I don't want to sin against him. So I want to store up. What should I store up? Again, write your own stuff here as I'm writing here. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. Yeah, I want to pray this. God, teach me your statutes. Show me your ways. With my lips, I declare all the rules of my mouth. So I'm writing here, what do I talk about? Text about. Post. All the ways I communicate. Do they look like this? Do they look like the Bible? The things the Bible says. In the way of your testimonies, I delight. I'm going to skip down here. I will delight in your statutes. And so every time, this is something I've been really thinking a lot about. Like, the Bible keeps using these words. I can delight in his word. But I'm just going to admit, but I delight in Fortnite on my phone. I delight in This Is Us, the TV show. Although that's sort of more painful, I think, from what I've been told. I delight in the sports I'm doing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So like, that's sort of like me saying, like, this is where, to be biblically rooted, you cannot get there if you're not honest. Like, God, I really do delight in your word, but I also, there's a couple things that still a little bit more, like at least a more immediate thrill. So now I'm beginning to think about this. Okay, I realize, like, I get a more immediate thrill from some of those things, and yet I know there's stuff here. Are you saying I can get there, but I'm going to have to dig for it? I have to work at it. Is that maybe what you're saying, God? Help me figure this out. I'm just putting it out here, God. What do I need to do? Lastly, I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. What does this mean? What does this look like? Do I just sit there silently? Do I think about things? What are ways I can create the space? Maybe that's a better way. Create space in my life for this. So, you can see, I mean, this is just, we only spent a few minutes here, right? And I was going quickly. And some of it was just for me. But what I'm asking is, as you look at it here, and we've just been in this passage, and yet there's things I didn't even talk about during the sermon that have popped up. Things that are there and meant for us. So last thing to do, as I sort of disengage from this, again, keep that in front of you. Last thing I want to do this morning is the idea of meditating. So you have it in front of you. Hopefully you underlined, you circled some things. Maybe there's some things that popped up to you. Let's just ask God right now. Let's reflect and listen. That's what I mean by meditating. And we're only going to do this for a short time, a minute and a half. But this is the key to delight. Psalm 1, verse 2, it says, His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. This is something you might be doing constantly. In fact, we just sort of went in a linear way. Read some more, underline, but then you might go back. Let me read again. I feel like just looking at this, I need to confess some things right, again before I can look at it again. So this is not an encyclopedia. It's a relationship with God facilitated by his book for you. So in this, as we enter this time of meditating, I want to ask you to reflect and listen and think about what God's going to bring to your mind right now. Maybe there's something God wants to encourage you with, to surprise you with, to convict you with. Maybe there's something God wants to fill you with hope. I don't know what it is. It's going to be a word. It might be an image. It might be a feeling. I'm trusting that God is going to do something in this next, and this is short, minute and a half. I believe God wants to do something, and even just the short time we spent kind of as a community trying to be more biblically rooted in just this part of the Bible. So minute and a half of silence. All right. Yeah, that was just a minute and a half. I don't know what happened. Let's remember the Bible's not a magic drug. It's not a microwave. It's not a trivia book. But it's God's word. In even a minute, if there's something that happened, don't chase it away. Don't dismiss it. Don't make an excuse for it. There's something that God wanted to show you in that moment. And that maybe if it didn't happen in that moment, that's just God saying, we need more time together. Like, I have something so deep and rich for you. Give me more time and you'll find it. Be biblically rooted. To find who we are and the kind of life we live through the word that God has given us. Let's pray that that would happen more and more in our lives. Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for Jesus. And Lord, we do indeed pray that, Lord, we would be more rooted in your word, that we would find the sustaining life and truths and joys and delights, the hopes that we need for understanding ourselves and the life through your word. I pray for those who are here that haven't turned the key to enter into the world that you want to invite us into because they haven't believed in you and trusted in Jesus. I pray that just even the idea that there'd be something here that's better than the most thrilling and satisfying thing they have right now would intrigue them and interest them and draw them that way. And so I pray that would happen, Lord. And I pray for those of us, Lord, who've tasted and seen, as the Bible says, that the Lord is good. But Lord, we've let the taste dry out of our mouths. We've wandered away. Lord, there's a reason why we say we want to be biblically rooted. As we said in that video, we want the roots to go deep. So deep so that the fruit of our lives would be rich and full. Lord, I pray for that. Lord, I pray just especially for the moment that we had right now looking at this passage, Lord. And what's great about this, Lord God, is that you said something in particular to every single person here who's ready, reflecting, and ready to listen. Something that was meant for them. I pray they would treasure it. They would hold on to it. They would turn it over in their minds. And I pray the more you do that, that they would hear, really, in a sense, hear your voice through the scripture speaking to them, bringing the words that need to be brought to them from the Bible, the images and the feelings that go along, Lord, with being rightly aligned with God according to your word. Bring that all, Lord, and I pray you bring people who came here, who took the time here this morning and are ready to listen, you bring them from where they are to even better place of where they need to be. Thank you, Jesus, for this time. Thank you for who you are and all you have for us in your word. Amen.